This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Big Brother 23 postseason interview. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I am here with Azza. How you doing, Azza?
Doing good. How you doing?
Very excited to be talking with you. We had a brief chance to talk on finale night, right?
Yes, that's it.
Yes, and you mentioned that you actually were a listener of the podcast.
I am. So you guys might not think that, but I'm actually a super fan. Like, I've watched all the seasons. I'm a live feeder, and I've developed a really huge passion for this show over the past couple of years. So I'm very familiar with RHAP. I would listen a lot to the deep dives during the season, but I would also listen to, you guys always had tips of like, you guys would get casting tips or we heard that this is happening. When I was going through the casting process, I'd be listening like, okay, what do they know? What's happening now? What's happening next? So I'm very, very familiar with both of you, and you guys have a great podcast.
Thank you. We knew that you were definitely a fan when we saw that June was like, quoted as your favorite player in your bio.
Yep. I love June. I did say this though. I don't have half the ball that she does, but I love it.
I feel like that definitely created sort of like expectations for you that were definitely like not exactly. I think when people eventually, came to see you on the season, and I think a lot of people came to enjoy you on the season, but probably not in the way that they initially intended to.
Probably not. I think I have very polarized views on me. People either really like me or they're like, I hate her gameplay. I hate her style. One thing that I didn't realize coming in is this game is, we call it chess, but I actually disagree with that because it's people's emotions. Mm-hmm. And when I got in the game and realized, oh crap, Azza, you're an empath. Oh crap, Azza, you actually don't know how to be fake to people. It was really, really, really difficult for me. And I had to literally adjust around my flaws. And I wouldn't call them flaws, but the things about me that make me different in the game. And I had to take a different approach because I came in expecting to win some comps too. And that didn't happen till the end, so.
Well, I find that very interesting because I think a lot of people come into the game. And there were some people in the season who even talked about like I play Big Brother in my real life every day. So this is like, mm-hmm. this is completely normal for me. But it was like, that was not the experience for you at all. What about the game is so different from what your normal experience is?
I think one thing is honestly just the expectations of what this season grew to be. And that's being the cookout. When the cookout was established and that mission came forward, it was no longer just a game to me. Every decision that I made was either some in self-interest, but also really some in, okay, how are we going to set this expectation for the first Black winner? So I would say one time when I had that difficulty was when I came in, I did start a female alliance, started the Kingslayers the first week with me, Brittany, Claire, and Tiffany. And once this was during a time when Tiffany and DX were playing Brittany in a wild card. And I realized then with Tiffany kind of going, knowing that she had to win, I saw that there were other players involved. And I realized, okay, if I'm part of the cookout, I'm going to have to just kind of maintain that. I can't be in multiple alliances with other people because there's going to end up being clashes somewhere. So I had to take a step back in that sense and kind of just adjust my game that way, not by alliances, but by another strategy that I'll be happy to talk about later. But the other decision when that was made was near the end, when people kind of are back and forth on why I felt the need to bring X. And that was for me, I'm like, as someone who loves this game so much and has such respect for this game, and now being the season for what it was and crowning an African-American winner, me saying that he didn't deserve third didn't mean I wanted him to win. I meant I wanted a good choice between the two of us of who the winner was so that no matter what, people wouldn't be able to question or say anything against the first Black winner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, because it's also different, though, because like I feel like if it depends on how they react, depending on what they want, right? Do they either, are they rooting for you and they want you to win and make like a cutthroat move? If they are, then they're probably disappointed in your decision. But then it's like what, why are they rooting for you? And like, what about you are they interested in? Do they really understand who you are? But then there's also like, are people rooting for X at that point, right? Like, I feel like if there were a huge portion of the fan base that was like, we really need X to win, then they'd be like, well, I mean, it's fine if she wants to bring it. That's okay. Right? So it really is like, I do feel like these kinds of decisions tend to be looked at because they are the end game decisions. They're the most extreme ones. And they tend to be looked at in this, very, very, you know, critical lens. But again, like for you in the way that you looked at the game, it's a decision that made sense, right?
Yeah. I have to say I have no regrets in any single decision that I made. At that end game, my mindset really shifted. You're in that house for 7 days. You don't have a lot as much to do when you end up thinking really hard about this decision. And, if you're going to regret this decision or this move 20, 30, 40 years down the line, I do, however, feel if, that weight wasn't put on me, I most definitely would have gone the objective route, and done, okay, this is what I need to do. But this season, it was more than a game to me. It was really genuine relationships. It was crowning the first African-American winner. And because of that, I couldn't play the game as I thought I would, where I can, okay, let me do this because, you know, oh, well, it's a game. I just couldn't. It got so hard. And seeing people's dreams literally get crushed as they walk out the door was really difficult for me to kind of to grasp and adjust as the game went on.
Yeah, I mean, so I it sounds like in some ways the decision to take Xavier to the final two was an extension of the same kind of process that you had for the cookout in general. Something that everybody in the cookout had to go through, which was like, this is how I would normally approach the game, in a self-interested way or whatever. But because of the situation we're in, because of the circumstances we're in, we are having to approach it in a different way. And I think for some members of the cookout, that kind of ended at six. But for you, it also mattered that like you really wanted the final two to be the most representative of the message that you're trying to convey.
Yes. And I will say this too. I literally, where people might not get my gameplay too, is I played in phases. So, I thought that how I thought I'd play the game would be, I'd be mapping out each week, you know, from weeks and weeks ahead. And I quickly realized I couldn't do that once I realized that in the house, outside, in the cookout, honestly, and outside the cookout, I was at the bottom. So from when I got into house to jury, the beginning of jury, it was my mindset was self-interest. I need to do as much as I can to keep Brittany, because keeping Brittany means that me and Big D won't hit the block, and I wanted to keep the jokers. Once I got to jury, I saw that, okay, people are viewing me as emotional. People are viewing me as this and that. I need to be that team player so that when six comes, I'm not going to be the first one off the block because I felt that I would be the first one to go. Mm-hmm. And that was from jury to six, being the team player. Once I got to six, it was getting to three. And I was completely self-interest of, all right, I need to make these moves and do this to get this final three that I know is going to set up for me to be able to win. And then when I got to three and 7 days to sit in that house and think, and a lot of things happening at that time, it was my mindset shifted. And it ended up kind of returning to that. And I mean, call me crazy, but I truly felt that if I had won a third one, that's three HOHs that I have. We had not, we weren't certain if the jury was going to be bitter against us or not. Mm-hmm. I was the only person in the cookout that had kept up with 100% of my deals. And I had the jury emotionally in my favor with DX, outside the cookout with DX, Claire, and Brittany. So I really honestly felt, I was like, I could have, and I had a killer final two speech planned as well, too. And I was like, I know people are going to find this, and I'm grappling with it myself as to this, but I want to take that chance and I'm going to go for it. And I, you know, one question short, end up not being able to make that decision. But I have to say, I still stand by it. I know y'all are like, what the heck's wrong with her? But I do.
Did you feel like there was any chance that that Big D could win?
To be honest, there were some uncertainties, and this is the reason why. I wasn't certain. I knew that Alyssa and FB would be in Big D's favor. I knew that X, if I had evicted X, could have been in Big D's favor too. So that's three votes already. And then between Hannah being upset, I wasn't certain if Hannah was going to be upset and vote for Big D. And then Kylan, I wasn't certain because I had been hearing constantly from, I don't feel that same way now, but I've been hearing constantly from Big D that Kylan had said repeatedly he didn't think I deserved to be there or didn't, you know, whatever. So honestly, in my head, there was some uncertainty. There was a little, I felt I had definitely had an edge over him, but I didn't feel, you know, X got a complete blowout. For me, I could have gotten, there were some votes that I had some questions about. And the fact that I had some questions about some votes, and I honestly knew that I had a great speech plan and we weren't certain if the jury was going to be completely horrendously bitter or not. I was like, I can take this chance because I honestly, really honestly love this game. As African-Americans, we are always held to a much, much higher standard. And I felt at that time, I was like, okay, they'll either have someone who maybe she didn't win competitions, but she played an honest game, or they'll have someone who won the comps when they needed to and this and that, and they won't really be able to say much. I had proposed this final three since SB's HOH, and I had told Xavier to his face every single week that I wasn't going to take him. But I knew I could do that because I knew he felt he could beat me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I win this part three HOH and I take Xavier out, that's the only, I could not win any other competition. But if I do that, I'm going to win this game. If me and Big D still can't win comps. And, but my mindset just shifted.
Tell me more about this final three, because there was a final three between you, Big D, and Xavier. But it kind of stemmed from, Big D and Xavier having this final two that, and you were kind of like, hey, can I get in on that essentially? And yeah. So for a while, it seemed like they were still planning to cut you earlier than three. Were you sort of like banking on the fact that you didn't think they would, or did you feel like you were locked into that final three?
So I knew that, I'll say this, when I got, this was week seven, and from the position that I saw in the house, I was like, once it was SB's HOH, like, okay, we actually have a really big chance of being able to get to six. And I was like, dang, I'm going to be the first one out. I felt like I was going to be the first one out. Me and Kai were not seeing eye to eye. Tiffany and Hannah were locked in at the hip. And I knew Tiffany was good with Kai. And I'm like, there's no way I can get in there without coming out in fourth. Now, Big D was my best friend. Big D was always saying, I'm going to carry you as long as I can before I have to let you go. And I was like, what does that mean? I started thinking back and I remembered how close X and Big D were in the first week. And I saw that was my path to win. That was my only path I had to win, or I was going to be the first one out. That's how I felt. So I proposed that to them. even with them, you know, they said to my face everything was good, but I knew that I would always be appealing to Big D because Big D felt like he could beat me. And I knew that I would always be appealing to X because X would feel like they could beat me too. And that was a path to be able to win. I felt with Tiffany and Hannah, their kinship would take over them wanting to be in a final three with me and Kylan too. And I knew that they had great relationships with X and knew they had great relationships with Kai, and there was really no way I could get in there. The only path that I really honestly had was that one. And if that one didn't work, then I was going to be the first one out. And I had voiced that. I knew that. And I felt, all right, like if I don't get in this way, I'm going to be the first one out. Now, I'm thinking, at least this is my theory. When I proposed that plan at seven, once Alyssa won her HOH and encouraged Tiffany to tell the truth and things like that, I think Kylan might have seen that, and it appealed to him in a sense of, if I make a deal with her, I know that it's going to stay, mm-hmm. which is why he then offered me at six. He didn't put me up at all and said, I need to do the same to him. And I end up being spared. And once that happened, I knew if I'm able to survive six, then I can get to final three in this game. And then all the buttons just end up kind of passing over, and, you know, it ended up working.
Yeah. Well, so I think probably the other biggest point in the end game there that people talk about is your HOH. Essentially, deciding to target Hannah there. What was the thought process there? What was the plan for, getting to the end? Cause obviously it did in some ways work out because Kylan didn't end up winning, either of the next two competitions, but if he had, that probably would have put you in some danger. So were you aware of that, or were you, again, just hoping to bank on Kylan not winning?
Yeah, so I would love for people to view the game from, I feel like people view the game from their fan favorites, mm-hmm. and that's where they think this is a bad decision. But to me, this was an absolutely incredibly logical decision considering my game. I had been, like I said, we did not know how Jerry was going to react to us. And everyone in the cookout had been breaking deals and alliance left and right. And I was the only one that had not. And everyone had said that I played the game with quote unquote integrity and honesty. Mm-hmm. Kylan had offered me a final four, which I took, and then he offered me a final three as well. And he had come to me saying, I appreciate you've been honest, and I'm going to be honest, I'm going to keep up with this deal with you as well too. And I, even with me having those problems with him, I decided, let me put that aside, let me believe him. He also offered me a final three that he said, you don't have to take this final three, but I will take it. I will go ahead and follow through with it and take it and take you. So at that point, I was guaranteed final three with Kylan. And I had that final three also with Big D and X that they accepted. Hannah had not given me any deal. Mm-hmm. I had no deal with her. And I knew that X wanted Kai out. So with that logic that I had in my head, I was like, okay, if Hannah wins a veto, sure, I'll backdoor Kylan. But I know that X is going to take, X wants Kylan out as soon as possible. So with that being said, I'm going to remove the person in the equation. Because if I had, say I had taken out, because at the end of the day, Kylan ended up winning the veto. Mm-hmm. But let's do on two opposite. And let's say I somehow instead X gets out of the game, X gets taken out of the equation. I can't compete in a final four HOH. Both Hannah and Kylan are stronger players to me. So likely one of them is going to win HOH and one of them is going to win veto. And either me or Big D is going to leave. I can't afford for Big D to leave because that's the only way that I can win this game. Mm-hmm. Now, if somehow I end up at the final three with Hannah, Big D, and Hannah ends up taking me to final two. Yes, I'm in final two, but there's no way I'm winning that game. Even if I had taken X or Kai out at five, because Hannah had the jury in her favor. I had the jury in my favor next to Big D, and I had the jury emotionally in my favor next to X. So it made absolute reason for me to take Hannah out. I don't see how that's, I personally see that as an incredibly logical move. I'm very confused if people call it stupid or things like that. It's like, they're like, why aren't you playing the game for Hannah? Why? And I'm like, no, I'm playing the game for myself. Like, this made absolute logical sense. I'm very confused that you guys don't see this is a logical move for me. But I see now that from how it had been edited, I had known about the X had been telling me continuously that Kylan feels we have a final two. Kylan feels we have an agreement. Kylan feels we have an agreement. But I had known in the bottom of my heart that X was not going to honor that agreement. Now, my one blind spot, though, was Big D, because I thought in Big D's head it was X, then me. I didn't know it was X, then Kylan, then Big D, then me. So I will say that my blind spot was in that. But I decided to bank on the fact that X could possibly win at four. And if X won at four, and between three people going for the veto, I had a chance to. That would be my best place to position myself to win the game, because Big DMU will be in a final three.
Mm-hmm. Probably what happens here, right, is that, you know, part of what you're saying, people really didn't want Hannah to go. And since there was no real evidence to the contrary, it's like, well, obviously Xavier's going to do this because he's never said he wouldn't. How could this decision be made?
Yeah. When we before our HOH, I got together with X and I got together with Big D as well, too, and went over scenarios of things. And that's when I kind of clued in on him that I had a deal with Kylan. Mm-hmm. And he was like, wait, so you're not going to put him up? I said, I can't put him up initially. And he was like, wait, but that means if anyone's going to take him out, I have to take him out. And in his head, he wanted whom at five, Kylan, to leave. From what he was telling me, and from that was his plan. He'd always said that ideally it would have been him, Hannah, me, Big D at four. And truthfully, I feel if at that four, the final three from that would likely have been Hannah, X, and Big D. Personally, I feel if that four had happened, that's why I would have been for the final three. I don't know. I mean, I know it's you know, different things can be said of each person, whatever. But I kind of always felt that he, after whatever Tiffany's HOH, and from actions from before, those were people on his list he wanted out, Kylan and Tiffany. I felt that was made clear to most people. And of course, Big D in his conversation will be the most honest. I still stand by the fact that I think my blind spot was just Big D. I just thought that he was as loyal to me as I was to him. But I kind of got I just felt the sense that X is just a logical person, and he probably wanted to bring someone in final three that he felt that he could beat. And that's why I felt that was, I was good in that sense.
I think that people can get pretty, you know, bogged down in particular decisions, especially ones with high emotional stakes. You know, I think that I would hope that people see that you were thinking like about the game, and not you weren't like just like making decisions willy nilly.
Yeah, no, I wasn't. And I was trying to keep up with, I don't want to say I shot myself in the foot, but I dug a hole, I would say, of playing this honest game, you know, that I had to kind of, that was literally, think from my standpoint, that's the only thing I have on my resume. And besides the HOH. And I was like, all right, I unfortunately got to stick with the deals and the plans that I have, so that when I get to final two, I still have that. Like I still have that. That's different. Cause I was looking for differentiators. I was like, how am I going to differentiate myself from an X, a Xavier, a Tiffany, a Kylan, a Big D? Where are those differentiators going to come from that the jury might see and lean that in my favor? And I was like, okay, I got this. I've kept up with all my deals. And in this messy season that it was, people weren't able to, but I was able to. And I'm like, I unfortunately got to stick with them. And this is, and the deal that I'm sticking with is my only path to winning, because any other combination that did not involve Big D, I'm not going to win, I felt at that time. I know that I'm someone that has emotions. I know I'm an empath, but I felt like my decisions were logical, and I literally don't regret any of them. Like only thing I regret is I shouldn't have lied to Hannah about that at five. But other than that, no, I own it.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. And I feel like that's what I really appreciated about you throughout the season. And I think it's something that, like, you know, early on in the season, when you had that disagreement with Tiffany, especially about the wild card or whatever it was, it seemed like there was a split in the fan base at the very least, in terms of like who they agreed with, and like it was about like, you know, where are these people coming from? And it seemed to me like it was very obvious that you, and maybe it wasn't very obvious, but it seemed to me like you were coming from a place of a more like sort of collectivist viewpoint of like sort of like I am thinking about the group. I am thinking about, you know, other people more. And Tiffany was coming at it more from a sort of, you know, individual viewpoint of like, this is what I need to do for, you know, and she was still thinking about the group, but she was thinking more on an individual level about what she's contributing versus other people. Whereas you tended to look at things more holistically, if that makes, does that ring true to you?
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. My mantra, which is terrible for Big Brother, is you haven't started living until you start living for others. I mean, that's just how I operate. Even in my quote unquote self-interest period of getting from 16 to jury, my mindset, there were a lot of different reasons why I wanted to protect Brittany. One mindset was I felt guilty because she was being accused of starting Female Alliance that I had started up, and she was being put up by an Alliance member, by one of my Alliance members to put up. But the other thing too was, you know, everyone is like, oh my gosh, why is she doing this? Why is she doing this? If Brittany leaves this house, we already have Frenchie gone and Brittany's been exposed, and me and Big D are just open for slim pickings and completely open to get on the block at the same time. And that is not something that either of us would have wanted pre-jury. So it was in my best interest to keep, just have Brittany stay. And the other thing is, people weren't telling me that they'd just be like, okay, she's up on the block, and I'd be finding out the same day. I'm like, y'all, I'm in the same alliance with you. Like, can y'all like, you know, let me know or tell me some things, you know what I'm saying? So, I did have that collective group mindset, especially coming into jury of game of six, because I just, like I said, this became so much more than a game for me. And it was like, we have not had this before. We've only had two Black people at one time, and they've been picked off really early. There are very few people that have been able to get to the end. So when I'm viewing this as all of us, I'm like, this is all of us. Like, as much as I don't like this person or that person, I'm not going to plot against this person or plant seeds against this person or whatever, because we're all trying to get here. If one of us doesn't get here, I feel like we've lost, you know. It just became more than I wasn't viewing it as a game anymore. It was, as someone that loves this game so much and has such a passion for this game, it just became something much more than that. And my mantra that I live outside this house ended up seeping in when I was in the house as well.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like, I feel like it's so rare that we get a player like you in the game that really does it felt like you had such a big heart, and it felt like you cared so much about the people. Not that other people in the game didn't care about the other people, but I feel like there's just like a base level of sort of like, you know, cutthroatedness that exists.
Yeah.
That it felt like that you were still capable of playing the game, but that you just didn't want to be cutting those throats, if that makes sense. And that level, I mean, you said you were an empath. Can you tell me more about like how that impacts you both in the game and like in real life?
Yes. I'm just, if somebody's going through something, I feel like I'm going through that same thing. It's just how I've always been in my family. I end up literally taking on the emotions of a lot of people and a lot of things. And in the house, that's something that happened too. I would rather not say just because they're private things, but I end up doing a lot of life changing things to people in the house, because a lot of people felt that they could talk to me and open up to me. And I heard about a lot of really, you know, deep things going on with people that I end up just taking on myself. I remember when going through the interviews of this game and just saying, oh, of course I'll do what I need to do. Like, you know, it's a game. But as soon as you, being in that house and knowing, you see these people who are like so excited, you know, their life has changed and they're, they really, you know, they have really awesome different reasons and things for wanting this and that. And then when they get blindsided, or when they, you know, when things happen, it, you see the emotion on their face, and I just can't take it. I'd rather go through it myself than have someone else do it. And it just became, I don't know, it just became so hard. So I spent so much time crying, and it's like, come on, Alza, it's a game, but like, it's a game, but it's a game with people's actual emotions. Like we're playing this game, but it's not like a pickup game of soccer that you can just, you know, you stop when you're tired. No, these are people's emotions. These are people putting trust and loyalty in you and looking at you. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is really, really, really hard. So I pride myself in being able to adjust to that. And that level of me deciding, all right, from when that happened with Brittany, I was like, okay, here's how I'm going to do this game. If anyone ends up having to take self accountable, let it be me. So I would just be telling HOHs, okay, yeah, I wanted to put you up, and I'll do this and I'll do that. And it ended up working in my favor because everyone else was, you know, lying or saying whatever. And they'd be like, well, okay, at least I know where Oz is and she's not a threat. And that tell me I didn't touch the block to find a pole. So.
Well, do you feel like that's been accepted? Because I think that, like, you know, I think that the fans, somewhat understandably, tend to want to see cutthroatedness, and they want to see, you know, they don't want to see everybody just getting along and, you know, loving each other, because that's not as exciting, I guess. But at the same time, I feel like there are some people that maybe go beyond that and actively want to punish people for being empathetic and I guess not entertaining them enough. Do you feel like you've been embraced by the fans, or do you feel like there are some people that want to sort of like punish you for that empathy?
I think so. Yeah. I think there's a number of people who, you know, I think just generally I've gotten support, which I'm very happy about. I think there's a number of people who either don't respect my gameplay, or feel that, you know, oh, because she did this, but I don't know, personally, me, I would be very, I'm not, you know, gassing myself. I'd be entertaining myself. If out of everyone is sitting there lying and there's one person like, yo, I was going to put you up. That's entertaining to me. Like, I'd be like, what the heck is this girl doing? You know? But, I think it's more for, at least for others, I think people just need to understand this. This is something I got was like, I'm a huge fan of this show. But when I got in this house, I realized, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, she didn't do this. This game isn't about being the most competitive or being the most social or being whatever. It's about taking whatever is you. So you as Azza or you as Taran or you as anybody, taking your strengths and your weaknesses and navigating this game. So you win competitions and you can talk to people. Okay, you fix that. You know, me, okay, I can't win competitions, but I'm empathetic. Using that and using it in your game. And I respect people who can do that more and people get to the end. I might have my ifs, ands, and buts about Big D, but I have to still admire the fact that with him not being able to win competition, he still had a great social game that kept him and got him to where he wanted to go. And I think people should start viewing the game that way, not viewing it from a cut level objective, win comps, backstab, do this, do that, but more a nuanced, okay, who is this person and how is she getting to the end of this game? You know, that's what I would encourage at least. And what I'm going to do from now on, when I'm watching the seasons.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really great point. And I think that I think, again, like one of your strengths in the game was this sort of like maybe because you're an empath, some like an innate understanding of sort of that emotional layer that people have to contend with. And I think that you were very self-aware of, you know, who you were and where you were coming from. Maybe in contrast to some of the other players, at times. But I think that was a very real and genuine strength of yours. And I think it's part of what helped you, get to the end and part of what helped you, get to a position where I do think that you had a chance of taking down some of those votes because you had developed relationships that were on a different level than I think what other players were able to accomplish. And it's really interesting, like hearing you talk about your game. I really enjoy hearing you talk about it.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
So tell me more about, first of all, I do think that you were very entertaining, especially at times, because I don't know if you've seen this yet. You talked about having watched some of the episodes, but I have to ask about the middle school crush, because this was a recurring theme in the episodes for quite a while.
I know. And I'm just like, come on, man. Really? Like, I was in the DR. I spent hours in the DR. And maybe 5% of my conversations were about my middle school crush.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is this only time you see me in the DR, I'm talking about Xavier? Like, they would cut and splice things of, like, I was like, my goodbye message to Whitney was so much nicer than what I saw. My, like, reasoning to go for the veto during SB's HOH was because I thought I was going to go on the block, you know? And as a joke, I said, and Xavier's cute. But it's like, I'm going on the block. I'm doing this because Xavier's cute. I'm like, goodness gracious. Like, come on.
They really, I think I said, they really were doing you dirty for a while there.
And I was so oblivious until maybe like, I think it was like final five or something like that. They said something. And I was like, pause, wait. I was like, wait, what? You want me to say this? I was like, I ain't gonna say that. And I was like, oh, okay. I see what this is.
Oh, man. Yeah, it really felt like that was because they didn't give you a ton of content in the early portion of the season. It felt like what we got often was mostly middle school crush content.
Yeah, and I had literally been like from week one, I was targeting Brent and Whitney. I was telling everyone in the cookout that they need to go because I felt that I didn't see where their loyalties lied. I saw as soon as Frenchie was kind of target enemy number one, they kind of were like, you know, shifting another direction. And I knew about the slaughterhouse at that time. I didn't care if there were cookout members in it. I wanted anyone that was not a cookout member out. And those were the two main ones that I wanted. But it looks like it was, I wanted Whitney out week three because of, you know, whatsoever.
Oh, yeah, that was the worst. That was the worst that they did to you. Because they really did try to make it out to be that, like, you wanted her gone because of the middle school cry, which was absolutely, like you absolutely were going for her as early as week one.
Yes. There was a lot of things I'm just like, come on, y'all. But it's like, it's all good.
Did you see the one of you falling?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, they really did me dirty. I consider myself a funny person, but in the cast and outside the cast, I realized people like to laugh at me a lot more than with me. I have to admit, that was pretty funny. That fall was something.
I don't think they even, and sometimes it's hard to remember what they include in the episodes and what was on the feeds, but I'm pretty sure they didn't even include what I thought was your finest moment, which was Kyland asking, doing his interrogations, and him asking who was the most influential player in the game, and you pointing to Frenchie.
Yeah. You know, I've seen the clips from that on Twitter, and I crack myself up. I just crack myself up sometimes. When that happened, a lot of people think I was upset because he didn't throw the HOH to me. It's not that. It was I felt, which I had a reasoning to, you know, I felt that my alliance didn't really trust me. You know, my alliance kind of found me, I wouldn't say trouble, but I don't, or maybe a nuisance. I wouldn't say a nuisance, but my alliance didn't trust me. Mm-hmm. And I, with that, and with, you know, with that happening, it showed me, dang, like, they don't trust me. And when that one-on-one came on and, you know, he's asking all these questions, I'm like, these questions aren't for your target. I'm like, you know, put Brittany up. I already know. I'm having to go up too. So I ain't going to help you at all. This is for your own personal game. I'm not going to do this. And I was like, nope, this. Nope. Mm-mm. I don't have an opinion on that. I don't have an opinion on that either.
Did you see the, I think this was from the recap episode, but they did like an edit on Brittany. They would do a zoom in and a sound effect that was. Have you not seen that?
No.
Oh, you got to watch it. It was great. I can't even remember what it was. It was about like, it was about food and like not having eaten a certain food from a place. I don't remember exactly though. It's so good though.
That is funny. I need to see that.
Yeah.
I need to see it.
Tell me more about Big D, because this was obviously, you know, you played with him all game long, uh-huh. And it was a very sort of like, I mean, it felt like a fine relationship for a while, but then it seemed to get pretty rocky, especially toward the end. What is your view on that relationship now?
You know, I will say this. I think I do feel that we had a genuine relationship. I do feel that. I think for me, I just need to. It's a work in progress. That's all I'll say. I don't know what to say. I'm really trying to figure out what to say. I don't know what to say.
It is. I mean, it's tricky. I mean, like I don't even like, I mean, obviously I think people are probably like curious, but I, at the same time, you know, your relationship is your relationship. And, what I really, you know, don't like it when the fans try to get involved in like, oh, you're not allowed to feel a certain way about a certain thing. But I can only imagine, because it's also like you get out and I'm sure you hear about different things that were said. And you know, I mean, maybe just talk on that. Like, how difficult is that to navigate?
Yeah, it is very difficult to navigate that. It's very difficult. I had always told myself that I am, and I think I said that to you guys when I left the house. I understand that a house is a pressure cooker. I understand the house has, you know, my parents, they're very proud of my game, but they're like, oh, you cuss like a sailor in the house. They didn't have no idea I cussed as much as I did. So I understand the house, you know, brings about things. And I had always told myself that when I play this game, I'm going to, and I said this to you guys too, I'm going to separate game from game, and whatever shiesty things people might have done to me, I'll say is game. I think where things, I do have boundaries though, where I feel like if there are some things that I would say kind of cross the bridge of not game and personal, that's where I'm like, you know, and I don't want to, I truly honestly don't, I feel like he has gotten a lot of flack. And I do feel that he has given me a very genuine apology, and I have accepted that apology from him. So I don't want any more flack or any whatever to come his way or anything. I am just a person who I would rather set my boundaries. And I'll just say that I've set my boundaries.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's I'm always impressed by you. That's a very good answer. I think that like boundaries are very important. I've got more of my favorite moments from you that I forgot about. Some that didn't make it into the edit. They did make the one that did make the edit was the dress segment.
Oh my gosh! I think that's hilarious that conversation got there. That's so funny. It's just so funny that like just a mundane conversation, you never even think anything about of whatever ends up being put in there. I don't know. I think people know, like, I like I said, I wanted to get to final three, and I knew that's what dress I was going to wear final three. And we share clothes with each other. I have no problem sharing clothes. I just haven't worn that one yet. And she was like, oh, let me see your closet. I'm like, yeah, sure. And the one dress she picked was that one. And I was like, no, crap. But it's the Big Brother house. You have to, you don't, like, you would be surprised if something like a dress by the end of the week can put you on the block as the target. You know what I'm saying? So being a team player and being, you know, that like, okay, you know, not a problem, you know, to people and things like that is very important. So I had to just keep it up of like, okay, yeah, sure, sure, sure. But outside his house, I'd be like, nah, girl, I'm trying to wear that final three.
Yeah. My favorite, though, was a similar kind of situation. But my favorite moment was it was the week that DX was leaving. And you were in the bedroom and you were talking about your Fruit Loop strategy. And you were so upset with DX, because you shared the Fruit Loop strategy with everyone.
He did. I had been using that strategy my entire time. I had been literally, when people came in the room, I was hiding them. You know, I had a secret hiding place for them and everything. And this is how I felt with DX. I was like, all right, he's going to be gone by the end of the week. I don't mind showing him this. And I was like, oh, this is how I memorize what's going on. I do this. And even though people had used like Fruit Loops in different ways to like, you know, like Kylan had used it in like, showing positioning, you know, but no one had used it in games. He's like, oh, that's really cool.
Zach had Fruit Loop Dingus at one point.
Yes, yes. So when we sat down and watched the NFTs, I got up to go get Fruit Loops and I stopped and I got a paper towel instead because I was like, nope, can't show these people. I didn't see DX went to go get Fruit Loops and went on the table and was doing whatever. And then I was like, dang, let me get those too. And then within an hour, everyone is using Fruit Loops to study. Everyone's using color methods to study. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this was mine. And I told DX, I ended up confronting him about it later. I was like, DX, like, I literally told you don't say anything. And you went and you got them. And he was like, oh my gosh, Ada, just send me home. Just send me home. I'm so sorry. Just send me home. Just send me home.
Oh man, it was so good. And this is what I like, you were so funny in the way that you were complaining about it. And then in the middle of it, Alyssa walks in and she's like, Aza, don't use the Fruit Loops.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And I was like, I'm not gonna, I was so mad, I'm not gonna use it. Oh my gosh, I totally forgot about that. That was funny.
It was so good. Man. It was so good. I did like an entire reenactment of it on
the because Alyssa had been the one person. Alyssa was always snooping, and she was the one person who kind of had a feeling about my study method because I'd covered it for everyone else. But she was like, what you doing? And I'm like, studying. I'm studying. And she's like, oh, okay, how you do that? And I'm like, oh, just, you know, just a method, you know, just whatever, you know, whatever. So she had a little inkling about what was going on. She saw everyone using it. She's like, oh, this is the method. She's like, don't use them. Don't use them. You're going to depend on them. You're going to depend on them. I was like, yeah. I'm going to use them. I was so mad. I'm petty like that.
You're not going to have the Fruit Loops when you're in the competition. I mean, right? Was she right or was she wrong? Fruit Loops, no, good or bad?
So Fruit Loops are good. Fruit Loops are still good. Fruit Loops helped a lot of people. Fruit Loops is what inspired Tiffany to still use a color coordinated system, but she used her nail polish. So everyone's using Fruit Loops and she used her nail polish instead. And then that, then she won. Fruit Loops are a good method of study. Only thing with Fruit Loops, I use all sorts of different study methods. I started off with Bible pages, but everyone kept on using my Bible. So I was like, okay, I can't use it anymore. Then I was on Fruit Loops for a while. Then when DX got me mad, I was like, okay, what am I going to do? And I used a variation of Kevin's sprinkle system from BB Can. And I used honey and I would use a toothpick and stick them to represent days and competitions. And that's the method I used for the rest of my time while I was in the house, because I'm a visual person. It was hard for me to look at the wall and be able to figure out competitions. I have to have some sort of hieroglyphics or something to help me do something. I'm very dependent on that, unfortunately, because I'm visual. So I had to use color coordinate systems to kind of get me through.
Yeah. It's always interesting to me. Like, people always come up with like the most interesting, like clever solutions to not having just like a paper. Like you I guess underestimate or overlook like the value of just pen and paper or pencil and paper.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. If I could have had one in that house, it'd be great. I actually had snuck a piece of paper. Not that I snuck one in, but I found one. And I originally had a sprinkles on that. And then they took it away from me. And I was crestfallen. So I instead used my nightstand and put it on my nightstand instead. Mm-hmm. But the only thing that sucked was I had to stay to that nightstand the whole time if I wanted to study. I couldn't go anywhere else. I had to go to only stick to that nightstand. Yeah.
Right. Tell me more about the season's over. You've been, there's been a lot of like, you know, hangouts, and stuff. How has it been for you? Like, have you been like hanging out with other alumni, with other people from your season?
Yeah, it's been a blur. It's been pretty awesome. It's so funny that it's like, we spent 90 days together. You would think we wouldn't want to be around each other, but instead, we continue to hang out.
Well, you're like, I've heard of like, you're like the only people that really understand what you just went through. And it's such a, you know, sort of.
Yeah. It is such a very, it's a traumatic experience.
Yeah.
That is the thing that bonds you, you know, and keeps everyone together. I haven't seen this as a fantasy, but I haven't seen this from other casts as much. I think it's great. I think it's pretty awesome. I think a lot of the cast is actually going to be meeting in Philly a couple weeks later now too. And I can see this, you know, camaraderie happening for some time. I mean, I personally found this cast to be incredibly entertaining. As a live feed watcher, I never saw the amount of games that we played or the amount of like actual genuine fun moments that we all had with each other. And being such diverse, varied people just was pretty amazing. And like, there are some really fun, dope people that like, I'm like, yeah, I like hanging out with them. And it's also very interesting for me being someone who, I'm usually the more extroverted person in my friend group. In this group, I'm the quiet one, which is funny. But it's nice for me to be able to rest on that and chill on that as well too.
Yeah. Is there anyone you've like gotten closer to?
Let me see. I feel like I would mirror me getting close to how it's been generally. I mean, within the cookout, I think we're all really cool. I would say what I'm surprised about is, I wouldn't say surprised. I had always said that I didn't like Kylan on the game level in the game, but I think Kylan is absolutely delightful outside the game and he's pretty cool. Like I like that we've been able to develop a friendship from a good friendship from the season. It took me some time to adjust kind of to being outside the house and things. But once I was able to adjust, I love being able to meet with the people. Cause I didn't get to meet everyone in jury. I kind of just got pushed out, spent some time with Tiff, Kylan and Hannah, but then was sent, you know, got sent home. I've been able to, over the weekend, I got to really get close with SB, got to reconnect with DX and Claire. Of course, Brittany, I'm supposed to be coming up to see her in the next couple weeks. But honestly, just on a general level, like I like the camaraderie that the cast has built, and it's nice to be able to rebuild those connections again now that we're out the house.
Do you feel like the playing the game? I mean, you're there for, it was what, like 90-ish days this season. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like it's changed you in any way?
Has it changed me? I would say yes, in a sense. It took me a lot of time, and I'm still going through it now of like just adjusting to not being in a house. Mm-hmm. And, being so, you know, having literally nothing, having like just those people and each other, and then kind of pushing out of it. For example, I told Brittany something last week, and I was like, but you can't say anything to anybody. You have to just keep this between you. And I literally was like, what the heck is going on? Like, why am I like still acting like I'm in the Big Brother house? And we started laughing about it because like, I'm of course not going to say anything, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just funny that they're like, I would say I have trust issues, but like, I realized when in conversation when I have, I'm like, keep this here, okay? This stays right here. This stays right here. And I'm like, okay, we're going to have to work on that a little bit. So I definitely am more careful about like the words I say and how I say them. I've spent a lot of time spending more care on that. And I'm working on getting myself back to my no filter, chill self that I was before I got in the house.
Yeah. I mean, like you create these pathways in your brain, right? That are just like, yeah. You know, it's enough time to just be habit forming, I imagine. And then I imagine you have to like really like work to get out of those because I can't imagine they're great habits to have in real life, right?
No, they're not. You're so hyper aware of everything. Like when I got out the house and we were at Todrick's, I wasn't socializing as much. And I was like, crap, you're not socializing. And I'm like, you know, and I was apologizing for that. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm still adjusting. Like, I'm not social. I mean, like other, like it's fine.
Don't kick me out. Okay. I swear.
I noticed so much of like my socialization with people and things. And I'm like, okay, I need to get out of that and get back to just like being like me and chill. So I'm happy that spending time home definitely has helped in that. And I'm getting adjusted to that again and just being myself. So I'm happy about that.
Are you happy with the ultimate outcome of the season now? I mean, there were, I think a lot of, there was a lot of attention on the cookout and the message, first black winner. Do you feel like the goal was accomplished? Do you feel happy with the results? Like what are your thoughts now, you know, like a month or so out, mm-hmm. now that the season's over and the result is in?
I'm happy with the result. I'm happy. I'm happy that we all, honestly, from when we got to six, I was just like, life is good. I'm like, you know what? We did it. Like, I was fine. Any other person winning, like, I would stand behind them, you know? So with X being a winner, I stand behind him as a winner. I'm happy. I've watched these seasons and I love this game so much. And the fact that we not only on just the level of having a first African-American winner, but the only alliance to be able to have all collectively, all of us made it. I'm very tickled that I am a part of this experience. I'm a part of this cast. And I auditioned during Kemi season. I didn't get in. I wanted to audition last year, but All-Stars happened. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm so lucky that I got on this one. Like this is, I'm just happy. Like this is great. So I stand behind the winner. I stand behind all these six incredible people that got to six. I'm happy that this season for the most part has been well received. And I've been watching the game and looking at different things and going on Twitter and stuff. And it is incredibly entertaining and fun to watch. I crack up at, you know, all of us all the time.
Yeah. Watching Survivor?
I need to get on it. I have not watched it yet. But I met Wendell a couple weeks ago. And I met some, I don't think I can say it a lot, but I met some members of this cast this year as well too. And they are absolutely delightful. Pretty awesome. So I literally have not turned on television for the past month and week since I came back. Like my television has not been, I'm so used to not having it that it literally has not been. I need to get on this Squid Games, even though I don't know, am I going to get PTSD from Squid Games? Cause I heard it's kind of similar to
maybe a little bit. I don't know. There are alliances.
All right. I need to get into that and I need to get into Survivor because I heard this season's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. Do you feel like you've gotten back into any kind of like regular routine or is it just like, is this like kind of still just kind of like riding on this weird, you know?
I'm riding on a wave, but I'm also, I'm riding on a wave and also on ground at the same time.
Yeah.
I think I'm the only person in my cast that returned to work. Mm-hmm. So I actually got back to my, I felt like for my mental health, I need to go back to my routine. Mm-hmm. I have all these things coming and things that I'm planning, but I felt I needed my foundation grounding back. And I will say it's been a bit difficult, just like, because it's hard to ride the wave and still be working. And it's so much trying to figure out and go back. And it's a lot of navigating, but I do love being busy. I love, you know, always having plans and always having things, but it's been hard. I won't lie. It's been hard, but I've gone back to work. I'm doing a lot of stuff that I did before. I went back to biking and I'm part of a bike club. I've been biking again. I've been doing a lot of things that were Aza. I wanted to get back to the things that are Aza, that Aza does. And it's helped me kind of set my path for where I want Aza to go now that I'm in this, you know, been kind of catapulted into like this new platform and a lot of, you know, overwhelming things happening right now.
Yeah. Well, what are the plans for the future? Like, where do you see things going?
Yeah. So I just launched a YouTube channel a couple weeks ago that's going to be focused on more lifestyle. I also have a cookbook coming out in the next couple weeks. So it'll be 10 recipes for the holidays. And then I
not easily replicatable recipes, I imagine.
Yeah. Not simple. Yeah. I actually have Twitter is so funny. Some people on Twitter feel that my mashed potatoes are what kept me off the block at 6 in Kylan. One of the recipes in the book are Kylan's mashed potatoes. Yeah. I'm going to be putting, even though it's only 10 recipes, I'll, you know, have a lot of stories and things and, you know, just more personal details around the importance around these recipes and just stories as to where they came from. So I'm excited about it.
Cool. I think I interrupted you while you were saying more things.
So it's that. Oh yes. And then I have, I've been working with, some co-packers to get a, one of the things that people really liked on the season and have been asked for is Puff Puff, which is a African dish that is quite popular, in West and Central Africa. So I'm working on getting a mix together that can be sold on Amazon that people can make it in their homes themselves. So those are the two things that I'm focused on. And then I have some on like the entertainment front. I have some meetings that I've been working through and setting up in the next couple weeks that I'm excited about. And we'll see what ends. But for now, I'm still working in tech and I like my job. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, it sounds like you have options, which is always the best place to be, I think.
Yeah, I like options. Yep, yeah. Exactly.
All right. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to talk about?
I think this was great.
Yeah.
I don't think I have anything else. I'm trying to think. I think we covered a lot of stuff.
Yeah. It was really nice talking to you, Aza. I hope that, some people, they play the game and then they're like, I can't really watch it anymore. Which is totally fine, yeah. And very understandable. Where do you think you stand on that right now?
At first I felt that way when I got out because I literally was, so I have come to find that I have a bit of a different experience from the other members in jury. They got to leave and debrief and hang out with each other and things like that. I mean, I got kicked out on my butt and just like the next day, I just got pushed out into the world. And it was very interesting being in LA because LA seems to be where I guess everyone watches Big Brother in LA. Not as much in Maryland though. Yeah. But the question everyone kept on asking me is like, how does Bill be one question away from winning $750,000? Aren't you devastated? And like, having that repeated in my mind, I was like, I can't watch this. I cannot watch this. I cannot watch this.
Yeah.
I forced myself. I was like, nope, you need to watch your eviction. I sat, I watched my eviction. I have dark humor. I laughed. Like I would cry when it was happening, but like a couple of days later, I would always laugh after every eviction because it's funny. And I came to find I was laughing at myself when I got evicted. And after that cathartic moment of me, you know, look on my face and me walking out the door. I was like, okay. And even though my heart was hurting, I pushed myself to watch more and more and more and watch everything. And like, I've like been like going, like watching, like, let me see live feed on this day. And I look at stuff like I've been watching and it's helped me because now I can, my emotions were so raw in this first couple weeks and I was so hurt by things. But now I can look at this all as a game and be very entertained. And it's weird. I've gone from shifting these people in this game to actual people doing things to me, to characters. And now I'm just really and entertained by these characters, you know, and right. I laugh about things all the time. And then I laugh also at like the Twitter fans are just so funny. And the things that they like, even when people who hate me, they just make me laugh. Like they, yeah. like they're so creatively evil. And it's so funny.
Do you have an example? Like what's your favorite one?
Okay, let me think. Oh, somebody said I look like Handsome Squidward. Somebody else, yeah, I know. somebody, there was one, like, I actually sent it to Hannah because it made me laugh. It's like a group of, like, girls, like, and they're, like, they're singing this song, like, and it was, like, Hannah's fans once Ozzy and Kylan get out the house, and it's a group of girls like, and when she done, I'ma stop on that hoe. When she did, I'ma beat on that hoe. And it's like they're all like these little girls, these little bad little girls, just singing all these things into what they're gonna do. Like, and I don't know where the video is from, but like it just made me crack up because it's like I see like things and like people just like little comments or things that people say, I have that self-deprecating or like, you know, dark humor, and, you know, things just make me laugh. Like oh my gosh, one thing, this isn't what fans said, but it's just the clips that people capture. There's this one clip that has me dead. I'm on the couch and I have a white mask on my face because we're all doing like a beauty treatment, whatever. And then like Whitney hopped on Xavier's lap and I'm just staring with my white mask and my bonnet, yeah. just like, and Whitney has to like get a pillow and like hit me like, girl, like stop staring. But like the thing of me, like in my sweatshirt, and my bonnet, just like staring straight ahead. I've been honestly dying at all the clips that I've seen this season. And just like the, like I said, the creative evilness of these fans when they don't like you, like they just crack me up. I've been thoroughly entertained.
Yeah. If you're going to be evil, at least be creative about it.
Yeah. Be creative. Yeah. I troll myself. So like I troll all the time. My family talk calls me the family troll because I'm always that troll person. So unfortunately I kind of enjoy the trolling. It kills me. It cracks me up.
Is it weird now that like there's like probably like a whole repertoire of like gifts of yourself?
That was the thing I was the most tickled by. I'm a giffer, so I gif everything, and the fact that like I have gifts, yo, this is so cool. I love it. And there's some funny ones too. They got like the one when Alyssa was coming off the wall and me and Tiffany are like, come on, no, she's doing it. Like there's so many, it's just very tickling to have gifts. And my friends, like my friends not on the cast, they always make me laugh because they'll like randomly, like I'll say something, whatever, in a group chat. And then they'll randomly put in a gif of me that I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm backing on my gif. It's so crazy. It's funny.
Yeah. All right. Well, if people want to find gifts of you, where can they find you online? And should they tweet gifts at you of you?
Yes, tweet them. Yeah. So if I'm on Instagram, I'm Wonderful World of AZ, Wonderful World of Oz. And then on Twitter, I'm Azza_Awasm. So AZAH_AWAS as in Sam, U, M as in Mary.
You just reminded me of your comic. Did you like your comic?
I love my comic. As you can see, that's my, like, I love the Wizard of Oz, one of my favorite musicals or my favorite films. I love the Wizard of Oz. I love the Wiz. I love anything that has to do with the Wizard. Wicked, every variation of it. And I just love that they gave that to me. I was very tickled by it. I love it.
Do you think that they, like, they knew that you were into the Wizard of Oz, or do you think it was just a coincidence?
I think I remember, like, my first day I said, think of the Wizard of Oz and add a. When I told people to remember my name. And then somebody made a joke, Big D and Hannah made a joke that like, you know, they might've known that, but also like, they're like, it just makes no sense that you keep on pointing people as targets and still don't touch the block. You must be a wizard. So that was what made me laugh. But no, I was, I know I had said, think of the Wizard of Oz and had a often. In my interviews and like, just, that's why I always tell people to remember me, to get, so they get my name better. So I was just tickled. I loved it.
All right. Well, you can of course find me, on Twitter @ArmstrongTaren or, on Twitch, twitch.tv/ Taryn Armstrong. Thank you guys so much for joining us on this postseason Big Brother 23 podcast interview. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and I will see all of you next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.